Well, good afternoon. Welcome to your Sunday. It's a bright and sunny one out there for sure. And we are in the mood for the next hour to do exactly that. We're talking employment law and always your opportunity to chime in and join the show. We tell you to call in over the next hour. Don't be bashful. Grab a phone, pull up a chair, be that third voice on air and join us at the table, right? 416-872-1010 to call the show now. 416-872-1010. You can text 71010 as well. And always the emails available, not only with this hour, but any hour you want to send one along to Lior and his team. That could be done at help@employmentlawyer.ca. Help@employmentlawyer.ca. But Lior, you text me this morning, man. Something very special I did not realize, because we all know how fast time flies. 11 years ago on this day, you and I started one little radio show once a week, and looking now, 11 years later, we're across radio, across the country on CP24. We're in BC and everywhere doing this fine show, man. So well done with the foresight on that one. It's really grown to be something completely and utterly helpful for tens of thousands of people. So nicely done, brother.
Well, if you think about it, it wasn't really a big stretch to come up with this idea for the show, because everyone has a job, everyone has workplace rights. We all have questions about things that are going on in the place we spend all these hours in. So yeah, we figured that people are going to want to know what their rights are. And I'm very happy that that's in fact the case, and 11 years going strong. And we're going to do the same thing today. We're going to tell you about your workplace rights. We're going to tell you what you need to know if your job is not going the way it should, if your boss is giving you ultimatums or threatening you, maybe you've lost your job, maybe your job is being changed, you name it. If it's has to do with your job, if it has to do with the workplace and you have rights, then this is the time to talk about those rights, to ask questions, to make sure you're informed and educated about this very, very important topic. And the reason we've been able to do this show for this long is because we have terrific employment laws across the country, really, certainly in Ontario. And that many people just don't know what the law does for them. Well, we can educate you on that aspect of it right here, right now. So let's get those questions answered. And of course, I always like to start off with a couple situations that came across my desk. John, I spoke with a lady earlier this week, and we've talked about this on the show before, but to see it kind of live and in color really made me chuckle a bit. Well, this lady, unfortunately, over the past 6 months had dealt with a number of medical issues, nothing overly serious, thankfully. But because of that, she had to miss work several times, always properly, always with the doctor's note, no question that it was all good and legitimate. Well, recently she was called into a meeting, and she was told by her employer, well, that we have very big concerns about your attendance and your showing up to work. You've missed too many days. So we need you to sign this attendance management form, essentially saying that you're going to do a better job in coming to work or else. So she asked him to give her a couple of days to think about that. And she called me and she wanted to know, well, I mean, should I sign this document? I was sick when I missed days. What was this all supposed to be? So, of course, John, this whole idea is completely ridiculous. What is the company hoping to accomplish here? To make sure that their employee is not as sick as often, and they do that by threatening the employee? So if she's sick, how's that form going to help? If she gets a virus, she's going to show that form to the virus and say, sorry, virus, you have to go away now because I signed a piece of paper? No. It makes no sense. It's frankly idiotic. So no, an employer cannot punish you because you had to miss work for legitimate reasons. They can't write you up. They can't threaten you. They can't do any of that if it's legitimate. Now, if they don't think it's legitimate, they can ask for a doctor's note. And they can even ask, you know, is there a reason? Can we expect? Is there any reason to believe you're not going to be back regularly? They can ask those types of questions, but they can't punish someone for being sick. It's ridiculous. Now, if she simply was missing her bus in the morning, or maybe she was sleeping in and not, that's why she wasn't showing up to work, that's legitimate. You need to performance manage that. You can absolutely discipline, potentially even at some point let someone go. But you cannot be disciplined because you're sick. That's whole idea is absurd. So I told her, do not sign that. They can't do anything to you in that situation.
Did this employer miss the last 3 years of the pandemic? Or, you know what I mean? A lot of people were calling in sick for a really long time.
Well, yeah, exactly. And how does that make sense? But yeah. Pandemic, not a pandemic. Maybe you have, I don't know, weak immune system. And unfortunately, sure, you catch whatever virus is out there. As long as it's something beyond your control, How is discipline going to help? It's as simple as that. So this is an employer that really, I don't think, thought about what they're doing. They said, well, we have an employee that's missing work, so we're going to have them sign a piece of paper saying they're not going to miss work without actually thinking about that. So I'm going to actually contact this employer and say, have you really thought about this? How about we just don't do that? And I'm sure it's going to all work out just fine.
Again, join us anytime right now, 416-872-1010. Call the number. Lots of open lines. We got tons of time to discuss whatever you have in mind when it comes to your work life and employment law for sure. What's the other thing you want to talk about, pal?
So we're talking, in terms of the week, there was a couple of situations where employers just don't know how to deal with employees that may be sick. In this second situation I'll tell you about, I spoke with another lady who had been off for a few months because of a medical condition. Fortunately, she was cleared to return back to work, no restrictions, go back to the way things were. Contacted her employer, said, good news, cleared to come back. When can I come back? Employer says, okay, well, we're happy, but give us a few days. We need to just arrange some things so we can take you back. Of course, no problem. That's very reasonable. After a few days, she doesn't hear back. She follows up with them. We'll get back to you. She follows up with them. After a few follow-ups, they start ghosting her. No response, nothing. She follows up, nothing. And of course, eventually she does what she should be doing, and she calls me and she wants to know, what do I do here? So this is not legal. An employer cannot ignore you when you have to come back, when you're ready to come back to work. They have to take you back. They have to make, in fact, all reasonable efforts to bring you back to work. If they don't, if they ignore you, if they don't try to bring you back, if there's no job for you, that could certainly be, it becomes a termination. In some situation, it can be even be a human rights violation. So what I told her is, because they've ignored you, because they certainly are not acting as an employer that wants to have you back to work, we can consider that to be a termination of your employment. We can force the issue of severance. And to me, by the way, this is also a human rights violation here. So potentially you're owed other damages. So the lesson here is, if you're ready to come back to work, contact your employer, even give them a doctor's note clearing you to come back. If they don't take you back, if they don't make it easy for you, if they don't cooperate, you have rights. It's not something that you have to accept by just sitting at home and hoping that they'll do something. You can force the issue, certainly can force the issue of severance. If you're in that situation, just give me a call.
Was it even a matter of accommodation with this employer? They didn't want to call, or she was free and clear. She didn't need accommodation. They were just being completely stupid.
Not even accommodation,
Wow.
John. She could have come back to work full time, no restrictions. You make, of course, a very good point that if she needed to be accommodated, if her doctor said that she had restrictions, her employer would have been under a very strict duty to accommodate her. They would have had to do it. But this is not even the situation. She could have come back to work as if nothing happened. Well, this employer cannot ignore her. She's not going to go away. And there's repercussions for not bringing back an employee after a medical leave.
Get to a quick text says, what happens when you call in sick, but your employer has you do work while sick and expects it when you come back? Basically, not giving you a break to get better, it sounds like.
Well, if you're so let's talk about what you're able or not able to do. So if you're sick, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean you can do some stuff from home, but you just can't come into the office? Or does it mean you're just not able to work? If you're not able to work, your employer cannot give you work, and you cannot be punished for telling your employer, I'm not going to be able to be working at all until I'm better. And your employer can't do anything to you in that situation. And if they try, that could have some repercussions. Now, on the other hand, if you say, hey, employer, I'm able to do stuff from home today, but I'm just not well enough to get dressed, get on a bus, and come into the office, that may be different. So have that discussion with your employer. Communicate what you can and cannot do. Ultimately, your employer cannot force the issue.
Yeah, I had a close family member go through this recently, and it was a matter of, maybe today they can get up and do work, and they're fine to do it from home because they've been told to, even if they can work to stay home. But, on days you're going to get up and you're going to feel like an absolute train wreck. And their employer was, yeah, no problem. Work when you can work. Don't work when you can't work. It's just that simple, right?
It's actually that simple. It's no more complicated than that. And by the way, you don't need to be an employment law expert to know that. It's called being a good person, frankly. So no, it's not appropriate to force employees to work when they're not well enough to work. Cooperate, be helpful, be accommodating. It's the right thing to do, and it's also the legal thing to do.
The topic for today, hey, Lior, can my employer legally do what it's doing? Get these questions all the time, so we decided to gather a bunch of them and put it into a topic, right, for this afternoon's show. Can my employer make my shifts longer or have me start earlier? Mess with my job, right?
Yeah, and it's a big deal. Let's face it. If you have a regular shift, all of a sudden the shift changes longer, shorter, etc. That's a big deal. And those words, big deal, is what matters here because your employer cannot make big or significant changes to the terms of your employment. So your employer has a bit of leeway. Could they change your shift from a start date of 9 to a start date of 8:30, a start time of 8:30? Yeah, they could get away with it. But can they put you at 8:30 a.m. instead of noon? Absolutely not. That's a significant change. And by changing that, that becomes a constructive dismissal. You may be able to treat that as a termination of employment. Now, I want to remind everyone, when I say your employer is not allowed to do it, it doesn't mean that there's a way to physically stop your employer. Unfortunately, the employment law police is not going to come knocking on the door. What it does mean is that if your employer is doing something they're not allowed to do, like changing your hours, your shifts, and making you earn less, etc., you can decide as the employee to consider that to be a constructive dismissal and proceed to get your full severance.
We are just warming up and getting started. Now's the time during the break for you to grab a phone. Join us on the show. We want to hear your questions. We want to give you some resolutions, some answers. It is 416-872-1010. That text number from which I just read is 71010 as well. As we continue right here on the Employment Law Show, stick around. We're coming right back. All righty, we're back at it. It's 119. Thanks for joining us here on News Talk 1010. A lovely Sunday. And this is the hour that you learn so much about employment law and your workplace life. Just give us a call. And if you have any questions, there's no dumb questions. Chances are, we say this all the time, that anything that's in your head, a question to ask, you have something that's bothering you at work, there's probably thousands of others listening or on the same boat. They're wondering the same thing. So we all really educate each other, right? And the way to get through, 416-872-1010, or you can text your questions to 71010. Want to remind you that outside the hour of the show, you can always reach Lee or email help@employmentlawyer.ca. And this website that was built specifically to make you almost as smart as Lee, it's called pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. And rolled into that is the severance calculator, which literally, not hyperbole, millions have used and realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting massively shortchanged by my employer with the severance offer. And that's what it's for. Pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Takes about, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds to put your information into the calculator. It's completely anonymous, so you can do that and you'll find out what the number should be. Then you may follow up with a phone call, right? But again, 416-872-1010 to join us. Main topic, as I mentioned, and we got into just before the break. Hey, Lior, can my employer legally do what it's doing? How about this one? Can my employer make me sign a performance improvement plan, the PIP?
So, you know, I get this asked often, at least once a week. I get a question, you know, my employer wants me to sign this performance improvement plan. I don't want to sign it. They told me I have to sign it. What do I do? Do I sign it? So here's what I want you to do. Take a look at the performance improvement plan. Usually, the signature, the only time they request a signature is simply to acknowledge that you've physically received a copy of the performance improvement plan. Not that you agree with it, not that it's correct, just that you, by signing here, you agree that you acknowledge you've received it. And if that's what it says, it's absolutely fine to sign. So take a look. It would say, you know, here's the sign here, and it says by signing here, what does that mean? The vast majority of time, it's absolutely fine to say because you're just acknowledging you received it. On the other hand, if it says by signing here, you acknowledge that this is all correct and that you agree with it, well, not so fast. At that point, you may not be able to sign this. If you don't agree with the performance improvement plan, if you think it's unfair, inaccurate, if you think it's unreasonable, you can't just sign it. Instead, what you have to do is you need to send an email to your employer explaining exactly why you don't agree with it, what facts they're not considering, what information is not included in it. It's very important that you do that. Oftentimes, a performance improvement plan is a step towards letting you go for cause. And if you don't say anything, or if you accept it when you shouldn't be accepting it, well, you've just made it for the easier for the company to try to let you go for cause. Don't do that. Listen, if it's all completely accurate and you agree with it and you have no qualms about it, no issues, of course you can sign it and say it's accurate. But if you don't agree with it, say so. You can't be punished for saying why you disagree with it.
Yeah.
Do it respectfully, of course. Do it professionally. Don't accuse anyone of being bad or, you know, throw accusations. Just be very, very professional. So generally, it is okay to sign it acknowledging that you've received it. But if if you don't agree with it, if you don't agree with the contents, put that in writing. Protect your job by doing that.
Next one here. Hey, Leora, I like this one too, because this one's a little deeper. It says, my employer says, you know, they're really struggling financially. Can they decide to cut my pay because of it?
So certainly over the past few years, we've had many instances with employers struggling financially, et cetera. And even right now, you know, a lot of companies are finding it's very difficult with increased costs of supplies and costs of labor, et cetera. They may be actually struggling financially. But here's the thing. The law does not make special exceptions for employers that are struggling. There's no law that says, hey, employer, you can't do this unless you're struggling financially. Therefore, an employer does not have a right to reduce your pay, even if they have a business reason for doing that. They're not picking on you. They're not being bad. They're actually just struggling financially. So they want to reduce your pay to try to make up for it. The law says still can't do that. There's no special exceptions in that situation. So if your employer makes significant changes to terms of employment, certainly if they reduce your pay, that means you may have the option to consider that a constructive dismissal and say, no, I'm not okay with that. If you're going to go ahead with this employer, I'm going to treat this as a termination. I'm going to leave. You're going to pay me my full severance. I'm just going to go find another job. So that's the option that you have if you want to do that. Before you do it, before you leave, before you demand your severance, give me a call. We have to do this right. We have to do this correctly. But that's the option that you have.
How do you approach it, Leora, if you know your employer, maybe they might not even be good friends, just you've been there a long time, you really get along, it's a good place to work, and you know, you want to help out, maybe financially you could take a bit of a haircut for a short time, so you know, all boats rise to the tide and everybody survives. How do you protect yourself from that becoming permanent or it happening again, if you just want to be you know, the good guy?
Yeah, and it's a great point and a great question. Now, some employees may say, okay, I'm certainly not okay taking a permanent pay cut, but I understand my employer is struggling financially. So if I can help them out for a little while, then yeah, that may be a good thing for me as well. And that's absolutely fine. That's admirable. And you can do that. The way you would do it is send your employer an email saying, employer, obviously I'm concerned about this issue of reducing my pay, but I know you're struggling, so here's what I'm going to do. I'll agree to have this pay cut in for 2 months, let's say, or whatever the period is, a month, 2 months, etc. And after that, I do expect to go back to the way things were. By doing that, by sending that email, even if your employer doesn't respond, doesn't agree, doesn't matter. By doing that, you've given yourself the option to still pursue a constructive dismissal later on. So the best way to accept something for only a short period of time is to say in writing that that's what you're doing. You're not accepting it permanently. You're not okay with it. You're just going to do this temporarily to help out your employer.
And an email is fine. It doesn't have to be a note signed by you, drafted by you, and make it completely above board and legal.
No, not necessary at all. And cool. Email is perfectly fine. What we want to try to avoid is a he said, she said type of a situation. So if you say that to your employer verbally, your employer is going to say, potentially, well, no, you never said that, or you told me you're okay with this forever. That's why we want to have something in writing. We want to have that email confirming that you're only agreeing to this for a period of time. And by doing that, again, you're protecting your job and extending your ability to pursue a constructive dismissal.
Again, my friends, you can join us here now, 416-872-1010. Just getting a couple calls lined up as we work our way through this topic, which is a really good one, by the way. Hey, Leora, can my employer legally do what it's doing? My doctor put me on modified duties? Can my employer disagree with my doctor's restrictions and say, no, I'm not going to do it?
John, I can't tell you how often I get this question or versions of this question asked. An employee says to their employer, here's my modified duties, here's the accommodation. Employer says, oh, not so fast. We don't really agree with that, or we don't think that makes sense. We need to really know what's behind it, or we need you to get a second opinion. No, 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 no. Okay? No to all those things. Your employer cannot question your doctor, disagree with your doctor, think your doctor is wrong, demand that you tell them what your medical condition is, or demand that you get a second opinion. If your doctor is clear about what you need, that's it. That's where it ends. Your employer needs to make all efforts at that point to accommodate. They don't get to question your employer. So if your employer is not cooperating with your doctor, that's wrong. You really want to give me a call immediately.
Let's get Dave on here before we take a break. Dave, thanks for taking the time this afternoon, sir. How are you doing? Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Have we got Dave? Hi, Dave. Yeah, go ahead. You're on air. How are you, pal?
Good. Okay, so My question is, my name is Dennis Day, and I'm nearly 78 years old. I've been working at Knox Presbyterian Church for 23 and a half years. During this time, many things have changed because the church is renting the hall and many other areas of the church. During my employment there, I signed a contract 6 years ago, and now I have been working there without a contract for almost a year. When my contract, they told me when my contract is finished, when my contract was finished, I asked for a small raise to match the minimum wage. And in return, I was told that I would have to negotiate a new contract. And at that time, they could dismiss me and hire someone else without having to pay any type of severance. Okay. Also, during the last 4 years, the church decided to rent half the church to the Department of...
Dennis, here's what we should do here. Let me stop you here because we have to take a break now for the news. So I want you to hold on. I want to come back to your question after the break so I can properly analyze it and give you all the information that you need. So hang on, Dave.
Stand by, Dennis. We're going to get to you momentarily. In the meantime, you can line up behind Dennis, get on air as well. Please join us, 416-872-1010 is how you call in, or text your questions to 71010 as well. We'll continue. Lots more of the Employment Law Show is on the way on News Talk 1010. Stand by. All right, welcome back. It's 1:33 here on News Talk 1010. Yeah, the Employment Law Show is back. Lior St. Pierre, always reachable outside the hour of the show, of course. And that is 1-855-821-5900. Help at employmentlawyer.ca through email. But here and now, we're talking to you on air. Love you joining us. 416-872-1010, the number. Or text us 71010. We'll get to some of those questions momentarily. I've been talking to Dennis, so let's just reiterate where Dennis is. I mean, working at church 23 years. It sounds like Dennis, you're not even working minimum wage, and they want to get you to negotiate a new contract. Lior, what do you think about this this entire situation that he's in?
So, Dennis, are you still working there now?
Yes.
Where do things stand? Are you not getting paid minimum wage?
It's right around that area. I'm not 100% sure. I make... $1,400 a month for 20 hours work a week. And as I was going to go on here, I was going to mention that the church has rented, during the last 3 years, the church rented out half the church to the Department of Immigration and Refugee Health Status, so they could run a COVID vaccination clinic, and I would have to clean up after they finish. So almost 2 years ago, I developed COVID, and then it turned into pneumonia. And so I believe my immune system has been damaged somewhat. But I don't know what I mentioned earlier. I'm a contract worker, and like I say, they said to me if I wanted to raise, I'd have to negotiate it, and at that time they could let me go without any severance.
So Dennis, they don't consider you to be an employee?
That's correct. I'm a contract worker.
I got it. So you are an employee. Let's be very clear. You've been there for 23 plus years. You are absolutely an employee. It doesn't matter what they say or consider or think that you are. You are an employee. That means you absolutely have to make at least minimum wage. If you don't make minimum wage, what they're doing is illegal. I can help you with that. If at any time they do let you go, you are absolutely going to be owed severance. And for you, that's going to be 2 years' pay. So based on your average earnings, so if you make an average of $1,400 a month, that times 24 is your severance. So they cannot let you go without severance. And they don't have to give you a raise unless, of course, they're paying you less than minimum wage. So do the calculation. If they may pay you less than minimum wage, being $16.55, then you call me and I'll help you make sure that this all gets resolved. But you're not an employee. You're not a contractor. You're absolutely an employee.
Wonderful.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate you. Appreciate you reaching out. And again, just in case you don't have a pen written, write it down when we're in the break. I'll give you that number to get hold of the Ornis team now. 1-855-821-5900. Again, Dennis, and for you, if you're listening as well this afternoon before you call us, which you're going to do, right? 1-855-821-5900 to reach out anytime. Yeah, that sounds like 23 years. He's easily at that age, Lior. 24 months, if not a little sweeter, right?
Well, John, imagine someone working for a company for 23, 24 years, and they're not employees somehow. That's nonsense. It doesn't work that way. Of course they're an employee. And someone 78 years old, being doing this for 23, 24 years, yeah, he's going to get the maximum, which is 24 months. So the lesson here, by the way, for everyone, is it doesn't matter what the company that you work for says that you are, whether you're an employee or a contractor, something that the law decides, not the company you work for.
Want to get a text in here, says, guys, my employer automated my job when I was sick on leave. Wow, what do I do?
So if the net effect of that is that you lost your job, so now that you don't have a job anymore, well, that's a termination and you're owed severance. Not much can be done about the fact that they've decided to go a different way, in this case to automate it, but they have to pay you severance. You can't, in fact, force them to take you back if there legitimately is no job, but severance has to be paid. And if you're still struggling with your health, that may mean even more severance than someone else. So if that's your situation, if you're not without work, you call me and I'll make sure you get everything you owed.
Again, that text number we're reading from, as you know, 71010. Phil, you're up next. Thanks for the text, pal. Has a Employment Law 101 question. Good one. Says, can I still get severance pay if I've been let go with cause?
So the only way you can be let go without severance is if you've done something really, really bad. So you committed fraud, you stole, you hit somebody. Yeah, if you did something that bad, then yes, you can be let go without severance. But it's not enough for your employer to show that you did something wrong. So maybe you made some mistakes at work and the company lets you go. That's not enough to deprive you of your severance. That's a very, very high standard. And in my experience, in the vast majority of cases where an employer says, oh, we have cause, we don't have to pay you any severance, whenever they say that, it's not in fact the case. You have not done something that's bad enough to meet that point. Yeah. So unless you know you've done something bad, that bad, Phil, you ought to call me and I'll make sure you get your full severance.
Appreciate the text, Phil. And for you as well, if you're listening, still got lots of time, lots of room for you to get on air and talk to us as well. Pick up a phone, 416-872-1010. It's exactly how you go about doing that. In the meantime, Lior, back to the main topic for the afternoon. Can my employer legally do what it's doing? You're going to love this one. Can my employer extend my temporary layoff?
So, and I get asked this often, can they extend it? How long can they keep me on a temporary layoff? But there's a false assumption within that question. And that assumption is that your employer had a right to put you on a temporary layoff to begin with. And they didn't. In most cases, the vast majority of cases, in fact, your employer does not have an automatic right to put you on a temporary layoff. It's not legal. So when you ask me how long can they keep me, the answer is, well, they didn't have a right to put you on there to begin with. So that's the real issue here. So in most cases, that's the situation. So if your employer does put you on a temporary layoff, you can't physically stop them. But what you can do is consider that temporary layoff to be a termination. Just like an employer can't reduce your pay by 30, 40, 80%, well, they can't reduce your pay by 100%, which is what a temporary layoff is. So that's why it's a constructive dismissal. Now, if you've accepted it, if you've given the company the right to do it by saying, okay, I'm okay with it, then you kind of have to see what the company does. And you may be waiting for quite a bit of time. But That's why I always say the better approach, if you're put on a temporary layoff, is not to accept it, not to open that door, not to give the company the right to do it again and again. And the way you do that is by considering it to be a constructive dismissal. Of course, if you want to do that, if you don't want to accept the temporary layoff before you do anything, you call me.
You know, a short time ago on this topic, we were saying, you know, my employer says it's struggling financially. Can they decide to cut my pay? This is kind of the opposite end. The employer says we're very busy and that everybody in the whole workplace has to start working overtime hours. Can they force me to do that?
So the answer to that may be in an employment agreement. In some employment agreements, it says that while your hours is Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, we, the employer, have a right to require you to work extra hours. If your employer your employment agreement says that, then yes, your employer can require you to pay or to work overtime. Of course, they have to pay you, but they can require you. So it comes back to that employment agreement. If you don't have an employment agreement, or if your employment agreement doesn't give your employer that right, then no, your employer cannot force you to work overtime hours. You can say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to work my regular hours, and that's it. And you can't be punished for it. Now, I say you can't be punished for it, but you can be let go with severance. The reason, of course, is your employer can let you go with severance pretty much for any reason, and they can use it for that reason as well. That's not considered punishment in the eyes of the law. It's considered a termination without cause. So could your employer let you go for refusing? Yes, they'd have to pay you full severance. That could be as much as 2 years' pay. They cannot use that as grounds to let you go without severance, unless, of course, your employment agreement gives them the power to force you to work extra hours.
What if we turn the tables and it's like you've had to work all this overtime to get the job done because it's your job, but the employer said do not work overtime. And you're like, well, I got to do 10 extra hours a week because I can't get my work done, so you got to pay me. Where do you stand in that regard?
So you kind of, you know, you're in trouble if you do, you're in trouble if you don't. So you have to get the job done or you get in trouble. But then if you work enough hours to get the job done, you get into trouble for working those hours.
Right.
So the law actually does deal with that. And if you work extra hours, overtime hours, because you had to get the job done, your employer has to pay you, even if they didn't ask you to work overtime. In fact, even if they told you not to work overtime, but you did anyway because you had to get the job done, you still have to get paid for that. Your employer cannot say, I'm not going to pay you because I told you not to do it. If you work the overtime hours, if it was legitimate, you have to get paid. And of course, remember, for most people, overtime, you get paid time and a half for any hours over 44 hours a week. There's some exceptions to that, but that's the truth for most people. So yes, if you worked it, if it was legitimate, you have to get paid for it.
Easy for hourly employers. Is apply for salaried employers as well, or employees? How do they calculate it?
Absolutely. So if you're on a fixed salary, you get overtime time and a half after 44 hours a week. It's very simple to calculate. Whatever you earn in a week, you divide that by 44. That gives us an hourly rate. And then time and a half of that is your overtime rate. So even if you're on a fixed salary, as long as you know what you earn in a week, you can calculate what your overtime rate is, and your employer has to pay that if you work more than 44 hours.
Well, I'm just glad you're here to do the math, because I don't like doing that part of the show. It's never right. But well, let's take a short break, get back into more. Time for you to give us a call. We got time, 416-872-1010. Text your questions to 71010 as well. And a reminder, Wednesday nights, 9:30 on CP24. You'll catch us doing Ask a Lawyer as well, our shorter televised version of this show. So make sure you tune in and join us there as well. And we'll continue with more of the Employment Law Show here on News Talk 1010. Stand by. And we are back. Thanks so much for joining us here. The remaining time on air, you got lots of time, by the way, to still join us and get on the show. It's 416-872-1010. That's to call the radio station. Lots of time. So tuck in and grab a phone here at 149. In the meantime, we have more time to get to texts. Let's get down to this one. It says, Lior, what if an employee has gone back to school and not disclosed this while saying they're working from home and refused to come in 3 days a week, even though that was company policy? Is that a constructive dismissal?
So there's a couple of things here. So first of all, if you're working or you're supposed to be working, but you're not really working, you're in school, but you're telling your employer you're working, that's a huge problem. If that's what's happening, that could be it. That would result in a termination for cause, and that's a big no-no. On the other hand, if you're still working, you just can't come into the office because you're now back in school, it comes down to whether the company can require you to come back to the office. Don't assume that just because a company has a policy that they've implemented requiring to come back to 3 days, that they have a right to do that. Depending when that policy policy implemented, how long you've been working from home, on what terms you've been hired, they may not have a right to force that. So if they let you go because you refuse, it's not a constructive dismissal. It's just a regular termination, meaning you are owed severance. If they can require you to come back and you don't go back, then that could be a resignation. So that's how we're looking at it. But certainly, if you've lost your job here, there's obviously more to analyze. You want to give me a call as soon as possible.
Let's get to another Texas. Lior, if you get working notice, are you entitled to any severance?
So an employer can substitute working notice for severance. So if you're owed, let's say, an example, 11-month severance, just made up that up. Instead of giving you 11 months, they can give you 11 months notice instead of that that severance. So if you get sufficient amount of notice, then you may not be owed any severance. The question is, did you get enough? In most cases, when an employer gets advance notice, working notice of termination, they don't get enough notice to eliminate all the severance. So using my 11-month example, maybe the employee only got 3 months working notice. Well, that means that the employer has to make up the other 8 months by way of severance. So there's still a very, very good chance that even if you got working notice, you're still going to be owed severance at the end of that notice. But again, to know for sure, very easy to do. You just call me.
And again, we're going to continue on here. You still got some time to call us here on air or text us. 416-872-1010 is the way to do that. 71010 would be the number. Back to our main topic, though, Lior, can my employer legally do these things? And that is, can my employer punish me if I complain about workplace harassment? Wow.
And, you know, you say, wow, and that's the correct response, because that shouldn't even be a question. But it is a question, and it's one that I get asked fairly often. But the answer here is very, very straightforward. No, absolutely not. You cannot be punished ever for complaining about harassment, for informing your employer that you're being harassed, or for demanding that your employer do something to fix that issue, to eliminate that harassment. The law protects you. The law empowers you to go to your employer to demand action, knowing that you can't be punished, even if ultimately the employer can't establish that you've been harassed. Even then, you cannot be punished in any way, shape, or form. So if your employer does do this very illegal thing to punish you just because you've complained about harassment, well, that could certainly be a constructive dismissal. That could potentially be a human rights violation. It could be an employment standards violation, occupational health and safety violation. You name it, it's illegal. Can't do it. So always feel comfortable to tell your employer if you're being harassed. Put that in writing, okay? So there's no question.
Right.
Your employer has to take it seriously. That's number one, to investigate the situation and ultimately to do whatever they can to eliminate that harassment. You have the right to work in a harassment-free environment. And if you've tried to deal with your employer and they don't deal with it properly, well, here's where I come in. You call me.
You know, the next one's good because it kind of drills down to why we started this show. You know, as I mentioned off the top, 11 years ago today, and that is, can my employer take away my severance if I don't accept that severance offer?
And every severance letter, every severance offer, termination letter has a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone does. It say, here's what we're offering you, but you have to sign this by Friday or Tuesday or whatever, or we're not going to pay you. We're going to take it away. Well, can they actually do that? Well, if you think about it, they can only do that is if they're offering you more than what you should be getting, in which case they can say, well, we're offering you more, so we're going to just take it away if you don't sign. But that's not what happens. They're not offering you more. They're offering you less. So think about it this way. They're saying, you're owed, we're going to pay you this really bad severance. We're going to offer you this terribly small severance amount. But then we're going to take that away if you don't sign. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. So that deadline really is ultimately meaningless. Your legal rights don't expire Friday. You have 2 years to pursue your rights. So if your employer may think they can take it away, but they can't. In fact, they'll have to pay you more. So don't get stressed out by that deadline. Give me a call if you lose your job. Don't worry about that deadline at all.
Let's get Moses on the air here. Moses, thank you so much for taking taking the time, pal. How are you today?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. What's on your mind?
My question was, I was working with the company since 2014, and I get off on 2020, and I get back to work again 2021, and I was working until last year, December. And I get off on December last year. So now they send me an email and they offer me a severance pay of 19,800, and I feel like that one is too low.
So what was your salary, Moses?
I was getting by like $25 per hour.
So give me a sense, so approximately in a month or in a year, what was that gross approximately?
Okay, we a month like close to like almost 4,000, okay.
With tax. 4,000 a month gross?
Yes.
Okay. So, and you've been there since 2014. And what kind of a job and how old are you, Moses?
Okay. I was working like a technical job, like a machine operator, and I'm 37 years old.
So you're probably looking at around 10 months of severance. At 4,000 a month, that's about 40,000. So what they're offering you is half of what you're owed. You're owed double that. So this is not a good offer. It's a terrible offer. So what you need to do is you need to call me, because even though it's a terrible offer, it's not going to be difficult for me to improve it. So what I want you to do, Moses, is to connect with me off air. We'll give you that number in just a second. You were absolutely correct to call. That's not what you're owed.
All right. So I need to get the number and call you back.
Exactly.
You bet. And I'm going to give you that that number right now, by the way, Moses, 1-855-821-5900. You bet. 1-855-821-5900. Example of why you call the show. That took about 30 seconds. You're like the human pocket employment lawyer. And that's not uncommon. That's a typical offer, right?
I'm the severance rain man.
That's
yeah. No, it's not. In fact, if I had done the calculation, it turns out that he was only owed 19,000. I would have been very surprised, only because the vast majority of people, over 90%, when they're let go, whatever they're offered is less than what they're owed. Usually it's a half, a third, etc., of what they're actually owed. For Moses, that means he's owed double what the company's offered him. But even though that may seem like such a terrible situation, the good news is, it's not difficult to resolve. Usually a letter from me, my name on the letterhead, is going to get that done, get it resolved, and we move on with proper severance. So don't ever be afraid of the process. Don't be afraid of your employer. We have very good, very strong laws here that ensure that you'll get what you're owed.
I want to get to one more of our topic, and that is, Lior, can my employer legally do this? And a good way to wrap it up is, can my employer simply close down shop to avoid paying me that severance?
They cannot. No, what could happen is that the employer is formally and properly in bankruptcy proceedings. That may mean that you're not going to get severance. Now, the employer can't just decide to go to bankruptcy. It's a question of whether or not they have debt, a secure debt that exceeds their assets. But if they just decided, you know what, we're going to shut down, they still potentially have assets, they still have equipment, they still have real estate, et cetera, and they have to use that to pay all their employees their proper severance. So a business shutting down, closing down its doors, does not mean you don't get severance. On the other hand, formal bankruptcy and actual bankruptcy proceedings, that is bad news. We've heard some big companies over the years that's happened to them, and small companies too, but shutting down on its own is not enough.
Thank you so much, everyone, for texting into the show or took the time to pick up a phone and calls. We love having you on air. We'll do it again next Sunday. But in the meantime, always reach out to Lior. There's plenty of opportunity to do so and ways to do it as well. That phone number, which I just gave out, I'll do it one more time, 1-855-821-5900, help@employmentlawyer.ca. And that website, which contains as well, as you know by now, the severance calculator, that is simply pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Thank you so much for joining us here in the Employment Law Show on News Talk 1010. And one final reminder, Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Join us on CP24 for Ask a Lawyer. And we'll catch you next time. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.